Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and it's Thursday, which means Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, and our author today, John Gentry, an adjunct professor with Georgetown University's Edmund A. Walsh School of Foreign Service, 12 years intelligence analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency, where he worked mainly economic issues associated with the Soviet Union and Warsaw-packed countries. I appreciate you being with us this morning. Very timely. And I should note that this book actually, if I recall, was published in the summer of 2023. But just with everything that's been going on, it seems so timely. And the book is Neutering the CIA, Why U.S. Intelligence Versus Trump Has Long-Term Consequences. And if you would, start out by telling us a bit about what prompted you to write the book.
What prompted me was concern about the pretty obvious outbreak of politicization of intelligence in 2016 by former intelligence officers. You referenced my former CIA time. I experienced politicization of a different sort in 1986, years ago, and became much more sensitive to it at that point. And when I saw what was happening in 2016, I said to myself, whoa, something really remarkable and different and important is happening. And somebody needs to take a look at it, and I think I'll do it. So I wrote a few journal articles on this topic, and then finally decided that it was a big enough topic to do a book on.
And I should note, not that it should matter, but it seems as if it does in this day and age. If I'm correct here, you seem to be the intelligence version of Horowitz as a constitutional scholar, where he is not a Trump supporter in any way, shape, or form, but he sees a grave concern when it comes to a number of these issues and attempts to attack Trump. And you're not, if I'm correct, a Trump supporter, right?
That's correct. So I make a point in the book and in my public discussions that this is not a defense of Mr. Trump or any other person. It's not an attack on a specific political candidate. My concern as an intelligence officer, former intelligence officer, is about the attitudes and actions of current and former intelligence officers and their implications.
I said Horowitz, I meant Alan Dershowitz, that reference there. When you talk about the politicization within the CIA. What does that mean? How do you define that?
Well, politicization is normally, within the intelligence world, is viewed as actions by intelligence officers. That is, and what that means is that there will be alteration of intelligence methods and analytic messages to serve the personal or organizational interests of intelligence officers, intelligence organizations. And these interests can be material organizational ones, personal bureaucratic ones, they can be political, they can be ideological in nature.
You mentioned that you first saw this in the 80s while you were within the CIA. This has happened before, but you also referenced that it was different then. If you would tell us about the first time that you noticed this occurring and this evolution of the politicization within the CIA and what that has looked like.
Well, you're right. There are four historical cases. I experienced the second one. One was during Vietnam. The one I experienced was trying to make communist countries look worse than they really were. There was a small one in the George W. Bush administration. But what happened in 2016 was remarkable in a number of ways. And the beginning of it, publicly anyway, was an op-ed in the New York Times on the 5th of August of 2016 by former deputy director of the CIA, Michael Morell, who said, I've been an intelligence officer. I call it as it is. This is what I'm doing now. I'm telling you, Americans, that you really should vote for Hillary Clinton. And this was significantly different than historical norms in two respects, because CIA people never addressed domestic issues, and they never tell policymakers or anybody else how to act. In other words, there's not policy direction here, and Morrell violated both of those long-standing, very important norms. And what happened then thereafter was that a number of other people pretty quickly followed suit, people who were formers, as we call them, former intelligence officers. And then not too long after that, the leak started too. So by the fall of 2016, there was a major politicization episode underway that was unprecedented by historical standards.
We're talking with our author of the week, John Gentry. The book, Neutering the CIA, Why U.S. Intelligence Versus Trump Has Long-Term Consequences. A moment that really jumped out at me and has stuck with me was not long after Trump was elected president. And I don't even know if he had been sworn in yet, but it was early on. And there was already within the intelligence community these leaks regarding how Trump was problematic and not working with them, not listening to them as experts. And I think it was around the time where he was said to have not needed to meet with them if they didn't have new information daily for these daily briefings. And Chuck Schumer, U.S. Senator from New York, was on with Rachel Maddow, and he almost offhandedly referenced the fact that, you know, along the lines of Trump better watch out because, you know, these people, the intelligence community, they have ways to screw you over 6 ways from Thursday if they want to. And that just seemed like such a, unfortunately, profound thing to say or to reveal. Do you remember that happening? If so, how did that strike you?
Oh yeah, the disinformation, as we call it in the intelligence business, that's the purposeful release of inaccurate information designed to harm a target. That had occurred, that begun to occur already before Trump was inaugurated, before he was elected. And then after he was inaugurated, the episode that you're talking about was that he was not allegedly taking his pre-inaugural briefings, which are basically the same things that the president gets. It's a courtesy that presidents give to presidents-elect. And this was incorrect. And actually, Michael Morrell, the fellow who I indicated was the initiator of this round of politicization, he actually said in December of 2016, watch out, this is already happening. And we saw lots of cases of this occurring throughout the Trump 4 years.
We talk about the predecessor to Trump, Obama, and one of the comments that Obama had made very early on that many, I'd say, critics of his, but perhaps supporters as well, oftentimes references that he talked about fundamentally transforming the country. And oftentimes people will reference the massive changes that we've had in this country, culturally, legislatively, and so forth, and attribute it to that cause, that desire. And I know that you write about this executive order, I think it's 13583. Will you talk about that, in this transforming of America, in the context of how we have seen the CIA used in order to interfere in the 2016 election and so forth?
Sure. So you're right. The transformation word was used just before Obama was elected in 2008. It's been cited many a time thereafter. And he began actually to try to alter the demography and the organizational culture of the federal workforce almost immediately. But the major event, I think, from the IC, from the intelligence community perspective, was his executive order of 2011. And at that time, he had two very strong supporters within the intelligence community, John Brennan, the director at CIA, and Jim Clapper, the director of national intelligence. And both of them began to take major actions to implement this executive order within the intelligence community, particularly the ODNI, Clapper's office, and at CIA. So what happened here was that you had basic changes in policies, in terms of hiring practices, promotion practices, There were actions taken to implement these, and you ended up having an alteration in the demography of the workforce designed, I think, explicitly, but certainly the effect was to bring into the organization people who had collectively, by large organizational group, political views closer to the to President Obama than to his opponents, and also very importantly, Brennan, especially as CIA, called upon his employees to be active in supporting the implementation of the diversity policies. So what he did in essence was say, in really no uncertain terms, we've got lots of evidence of this. He said, be sure after we leave in January of 2017, be active to defend the progress that we have achieved. And you know what this progress is. If someone, follow-on administration, acts to undo it, then you need to act. So in essence, what happened here was that Brennan at CIA explicitly encouraged his people to be politically active. So there was no overt politicization, overt in the sense that, you know, you and I can see it from outside. There was none of that until Donald Trump became a serious candidate in the fall of 2016 and then was elected. And at that point, the people who had been culturated, indoctrinated, if you will, began to see Trump as a threat to the DEI progress that Brennan had helped achieve, and so they began to be politically active at that point. So the politicization, actually goes back earlier than its obvious manifestation. So it was created, I think, explicitly by President Obama and his appointees. We began to see it overtly when candidate and then President Donald Trump seemed to be a threat to this progress.
We are talking with our author of the week, former analyst for the CIA, John Gentry. The book, Neutering the CIA, Why U.S. Intelligence Versus Trump Has Long-Term Consequences. I want to ask you about this other moment in time that we know about now. And it's just such a fascinating thing because there's this missing transition, as best I can tell as an outside observer. And you can tell me where I may be incorrect in this. But at one point we learned that, I believe it was Brennan, during a meeting, perhaps in the Oval Office, Obama was there, Comey was there, according to notations in Comey's notes with initials SR, believed to be Susan Rice, was there. And I believe Biden also was at some point briefed that Hillary Clinton was planning, her campaign was planning on carrying out a disinformation campaign, claiming that Trump's campaign was colluding with the Russians. And Brennan was just sort of informing then President Obama, hey, just so you know, this is something that's going on. And so based off of that information, it appears as if we went from, oh, here's something that we know is going on, to this transition of, at some point, hey, let's all get in on this. Is that an inaccurate understanding of how that played out? I know it's certainly oversimplified.
Yeah, it's on the simplification side, and I'm still not sure exactly what happened. I think people are still looking into it. We know that the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016 engaged in what's known as opposition research, and they hired a former British intelligence officer by the name of Christopher Steele, who generated a series of short papers that became known as the Steele dossier, and that this information this package was put together. The FBI got a hold of it, CIA got a hold of it, Brennan became aware of it, and in the fall of 2016, the FBI launched an investigation that they called Crossfire Hurricane, to try to figure out whether or not, or the extent to which Donald Trump was working with Russian intelligence. And it was concluded, I think, fairly clearly thereafter that there was no collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign. What's unclear to me, anyway, is the extent to which this was a purposeful effort to harm Trump versus a legitimate investigation.
And then we saw what appears to be, in the subsequent election, Biden-Trump, an overt reach out from the Biden people to work with those in and formerly of intelligence in order to, I would say, interfere in the election. And that is regarding the Hunter laptop story. And we would see apparently the Biden folks reach out and orchestrate or prompt the orchestration of this letter of intelligence individuals all saying that, oh, no, this is Russian disinformation. And essentially, if you buy into it, you're on the side of Russians trying to interfere in our elections. And that seemed to be even a further step forward.
Yes, this is blatant and one of the most obvious cases here. So I mentioned Michael Morell in 2016. He was still active in opposing Trump. He received a call, apparently, from the Biden campaign after the Hunter laptop data was published in the New York Post. Tony Blinken, now the Secretary of State, reportedly called to him and asked for help. And Morell and a retired CIA operations officer by the name of Paul Maropoulos came up with this letter and then approached a number of former intelligence officers and asked them to sign on. And I know from discussion with one of the people who they approached that the come on, in other words, the message to prospective signees was, this is to help the Biden campaign. So this was in late October of 2020, just before the 2020 election. American history students know about the dangers of October surprises. And the Biden campaign was clearly trying to avoid that kind of a problem. And Morell and his cohorts were clearly willing to help. And again, this is completely out of acceptability by historical norms.
Well, and again, as an outsider or American citizen perspective, to me it's chilling because all of the things, the reasons as Americans were told to be afraid of foreign interference and Putin and these elections, actually the reasons we were told the election interference and so forth, the very people who were warning us against them for doing it were the people doing it.
Well, yes. There's a technique in the intelligence world known as projection. Uh-huh. You accuse your opponents of doing what you are doing or plan to do. And that's been used certainly by the Russians and the Soviets, the Chinese, and it is used on occasion by Americans as well.
We're talking with our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, John Gentry. Neutering the CIA, Why U.S. Intelligence versus Trump Has Long-Term Consequences. I want to continue on just a bit longer than usual, so if you don't mind holding over with us, we'll take a quick break and then continue on with our author of the week, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed, and we are having a longer than usual author of the week, John Gentry. Neutering the CIA, Why U.S. Intelligence versus Trump Has Long-Term Consequences, our author of the week, of course, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. My final question with our author of the week, former CIA analyst John Gentry, the book Neutering the CIA, Why U.S. Intelligence versus Trump Has Long-Term Consequences. One of the messages that has come out of, through leaks, current CIA and former CIA and intelligence individuals is that, Trump was so damaging to these institutions, which you do write in the book about this isn't actually factually true. But what I do wonder is, what are the costs? What damage, if any, has been done to these institutions because of, if you want to call it, self-inflicted politicization by the institutions themselves?
Yeah, this is my major concern here. That this is something that we know is damaging. We don't yet know how much. The most obvious one, and the one that's pretty clear, is that when intelligence is perceived to be biased in some way, it is less used. Its credibility is damaged. Senior leaders do not have to use intelligence. If they don't trust it, they won't use it. They make intelligence less useful to themselves and to taxpayers. So this is a huge problem right there. Another major one is that when you alter the organizational cultures of analytic organizations in particular, you generate mindsets that we know historically lead to analytic errors. So what we don't know yet is which particular errors and how serious they have been or will be. And the Biden administration, the intelligence community, refuses to examine this question. I've actually proposed this to a senior intelligence officer. This guy looked at me like I just asked him to jump out in front of a speeding train. So the bias issue and what it means in terms of analytic judgments is something that we need to watch out for. And then on top of that, you've got the fact that, and this is actually not independent of previous point, that when you impose ideological orthodoxy to some degree, and indeed even in the Brennan years, people at CIA's analytic director were talking about soft totalitarianism, the push down. What you're doing is creating divisions within the workforce. So the old traditional and very important ways of analysts working together in a trusting way has been damaged. And that also has effects on the quality of analysis. So I think we have a lot of perspective problems. Some are obvious. Some are yet to be unfolded, yet to be found.
Well, thank you again so much. I appreciate your time, and it is a very insightful, perhaps a bit unsettling book from our author of the week, John Gentry, Neutering the CIA, Why U.S. Intelligence Versus Trump Has Long-Term Consequences. And like all of our author of the week books, you can, of course, pick up at ABC Books on North Glenstone. For Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.